Father, as we just sing those incredible words in Psalm 148 and in Psalm 8, it just reveals such incredible truth about who you are and about your Son. And we want to thank you that the whole, all of creation, we can worship you. We can express our thoughts, our emotions. We can express what we feel and just honor you with our words and our hearts. And we thank you for that. This morning, as we continue, Father, share with us, open up by the Holy Spirit and just your incredible grace upon us to enable us to have understanding, to enable us to be able to really enter into your incredible action, your provision, what you have given to us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you as you give us just a way and truth to help us to be able to live as your children of God here on earth in this times that we are living in. And this we thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. We are continuing with the just more and more understanding of the grace that is in his Son Jesus Christ, and that scripture in John chapter 1, 14, 15, and 16, and 17 has been the scripture as we look at Christ coming to the earth and to realize that in the Old Testament people experience grace but not to its fullness. Operating in the law, in every part of the Old Testament, the history, we see God's involvement. We see how He's provided instructions, He's provided the sacrificial, He's provided for all the nations a witness of His involvement in the life of Israel. That's grace. So other nations can see the reality of God in the lives of the nation Israel. So we see all that as a real insight to the involvement of God. But also now in Christ Jesus, for the first time, we are able to really start to know the fullness of grace, because Christ is not portioned, got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He is God. And the fullness of God's incredible goodness, His favor, His mercy, who He is all in His Son Jesus. That's why Jesus came to reveal the Father. He is an image of God. And so we start to see that in Christ Jesus, we get the revelation of the truth concerning who God the Father is, who Christ God the Son is, and who God the Holy Spirit is. We see that in Christ Jesus. So that's the journey that we have been going on for a couple of Sundays now. And we had a look at just the message of the law. And remember, the law is really the grace of God in really enabling us to be able to come to that incredible awareness that we all fall short on our own ability. There's nothing that we can do to try and get right with God. And so grace really leads us, the law leads us to Jesus Christ. So we saw that message, and last Sunday we touched a little quickly on the message that we see in Christ Jesus, that in his life he fulfilled all the requirements of the law. In his death, he fulfilled the requirements of the law. In his resurrection, he fulfilled the requirements of the law, because the wages of sin is death. And so in his resurrection, we know that he's fulfilled all of that. And so in him, we are also raised. So we spent a little bit of time looking at that last Sunday. Now today, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Fascinating words. To be strong in the grace. Where is this grace? In Christ Jesus. So there's a strength that you and I are able to receive and enter. And that strength to be strong, to be enabled, to be empowered, to live as a child of God, to live in the fullness of what God has created us to be in His Son Jesus. In His Son, there is the ability of God to enable us to be able to live as God called us to live. It's all in Christ Jesus. And so here we see the fullness of grace and truth has come in His Son Jesus Christ. The law that came through Moses did not have the empowering factor to deliver us from sin, did not have everything to be able to empower us to be able to truly live a righteous life. That comes in Christ Jesus. So it's very important when we start to look at this reality of grace as children of God. We're in this kingdom, we're living in this world, but we're in the kingdom of God. And how does Jesus want us to live? What has He done? What has He provided so that we as His children, this kingdom of and priests that's been redeemed by His blood, how can we live a life here on earth that really is a testimony, it's a manifestation of something that the Father has done in His Son Jesus Christ. And so He says to us over here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So it's not in our ability now, it's not in our strength, it's not in our whatever human effort we may try and to build and to gather up to try and whatever to live this Christian life. It's for us to now understand we need to know how to receive this grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's the answer. So we go back to the time when God spoke about South Africa and He said, the answer for South Africa is My Son Jesus, because there's a grace, the fullness of God's what He has done for all of South Africans to be saved, for the redemptive purpose of a nation is in Jesus. So it's been words, but now He's helping us to be able to know how to receive that, how to enter into that, how to participate in this fullness of grace and truth that's in His Son Jesus. And for us to know what it is to be in Christ so that we can participate in the grace, in this fullness of grace and truth that's in Jesus. So we've been having a look at that. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, we've often used that scripture, but I'll just read it quickly in verse 1 onwards. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then he carries on, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And that's profound, because we see there that the law did not have the ability to deal with the power of sin in our lives. It revealed that, it exposed that, it made us very aware. And that's why you will find that, like if I'm preaching on the law, like I'm sharing about the law, often you will find that the religious spirit will manifest. And the religious spirit will put you into it, oh, woe is me, I'm a failure. And that's the religious demon that's operating at that moment there, because it's being exposed. Okay, so beware of these things that are taking place around us and in our lives. So we come and we read over here, again I declare, or if you want to be circumcised, then Christ will be of no value to you at all. Now that's profound, because we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we want the value, we want everything that Christ has done to become our reality. We don't want to sidestep that. We don't want to bypass what Christ has done. So if we try in our own ability, we will see that Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, and we're going to speak a little bit about this today, how do we continue to receive more of this grace? So here we start to see, by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness by which we hope for. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So again, Holy Spirit's helping you and I to really begin to realize there is the provision of God for us to live here in this planet Earth. There is a provision of God to enable us to be able to be in relationships, in marriage, in life, to know the will of God, to be able to live a life that really brings Him glory. There is the provision, and that provision is only found in His Son, Jesus Christ. So this is where, when Jesus says, those who love me will obey me. So that's our part. So as the Spirit of God reveals and opens up and we receive this truth now because of our love for Him, we appropriate that, we apply that truth. That's the obedience. That's our part. That's our work, if you want to use, work out your salvation. As we do that, it's not just going to take place, oh, this is God's grace. No, the Spirit guides us. We have to respond in obedience to allow that truth to really become a reality in our lives. Here we have another, I've got quite a few scriptures I want to just read over here. But an amazing scripture that we've often looked at also is in 2 Peter. And in chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3 onwards, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And we'll come back to that. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And we touched this last Sunday. So we notice here that the way that you and I receive this grace, one of the ways is through the knowledge, through the revelation of who He is. As the Spirit guides us and opens up, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, as the Spirit of God reveals to us the truth found in Jesus, and we wow, and we take that by faith, we believe that by faith, we are fully persuaded that what the Spirit of God is sharing concerning Jesus Christ, as we receive that, more grace is being released because we're entering into the revelation of who Christ is, the fullness of grace is in Jesus. And we're starting now to experience the power of that grace. And look at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Therefore make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, etc. Again, this is now as we get revelation, we apply that, we walk in it, we obey what God is sharing, and we are growing, we're being strengthened all the time, we're growing stronger in the faith that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But just notice again that this grace of God has got a power. It's a divine power. So this grace is not just, you know, God helping us. This grace is the power of God. He's in action. He's done something in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's this incredible power. And it's this power, this grace which is power, this power that has given us everything that we will ever need for life and godliness. This word godliness is a beautiful word. It's not just about, I'm not going to do that and I'm going to do this, I want to live a good life. This godliness is a most incredible word because it's a life that reveals just who God is. It's a life that honors Him. It's a life that just wants to glorify Him. So it's life and godliness. So it's not just about the mind. This is the fullness of who we are, living life, living whatever God has placed us, wherever He has placed us and what our talents are, etc. Here we are called to be able to know, to live a life because God has provided all the power needed for you and I to be able to fulfill and to do the good works that God has called us to do. This is His provision for you and I. So we're in this phase now where we're having to renew our mind. See, we're in this place now where we realize, but God, I'm living my life, but there's more. We're in the place now where we realize we've entered into a grace of salvation and we've been born again and we're experiencing the grace of God. But there's far more because there's grace upon grace. There's far more to us than what we are experiencing. And you have made provision for us to be able to really live the fullness of all that you have purposed for us to do here on earth while we're still alive. And this is the power of God. He's enabling us in His Son Jesus. It all comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's many, many scriptures that we can look at. But you notice here, this grace of God, this power of God enables us to participate in His divine nature. The law could not enable anyone to participate in His divine nature. This grace in Christ Jesus, because now we are included in Him. And we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. and we're experiencing the Holy Spirit's fruit, the life of the Holy Spirit, and that's how we start to really enjoy that participation in this divine nature by the Holy Spirit. So we see there then in Romans chapter 6, let me just quickly go there, just to emphasize again, just this incredible grace, this powerful grace. Sometimes we just don't realize that this grace is power. It's who He is. He's leaning forward, He's giving Himself. And so we read over here, this incredible powerful grace, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, we die to sin. Can you see the power of this grace? We die to sin. The law could not deal with the power of sin. The law could not enable us to die to sin. The law shows us that because we've sinned, we have a death. There's no resurrection for us except the separation from God. So the law doesn't do that, but this grace that is in Christ Jesus, no one, by no means we die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order, the purpose. This is the provision of God in Christ Jesus. We have been born again. We've been baptized into Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We get born again in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For you know our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Can we see the power of this grace of God, His provision in setting us free from being a slave to sin? It's the renewing of the mind now, beginning to reflect on these things. That's why, how do we receive this? That's why He says in verse 11, in the same way, count, ponder, get into agreement with what Christ has done, that you have died to sin, but now you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's our part to play. The more we renew our mind, as we see in Romans 12, what takes place? There's a transformation that takes place within us. So again, this power of God, our experience may say, whoa, sin has got me. Truth says, this is what Christ has done in you and Him. Who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe experience, or are we going to believe? Because by faith, you receive the abundant grace. Not by experience. It's by faith, believing what the Word of God is saying to you and I. So the whole journey is by faith. That's why Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. And a righteousness from God is revealed that we receive by faith. So everything that we're looking at here, this grace of God that operates so profound in our lives, as the Spirit of God reveals truth, divine persuasion, and we believe that, that's when the more grace is being released. This divine power is being released for us to be able to walk in that. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to be strengthened in this incredible grace that is coming through His Son Jesus Christ. That's our journey. That's the renewing of the mind. And this is where we need to stop looking at ourselves and to start realizing, wow, there's something that God has provided for us that I don't yet believe yet. Holy Spirit, I need grace to help me to believe. And ask the Holy Spirit to open it up so that we know this is the absolute truth, and we move beyond our experience and we move into the truth in Christ Jesus. Okay, because the mind plays a game, and we'll have a look at that right now. There's also, it's an amazing, in back into 2 Timothy, where we see another aspect of this grace of God in chapter 1, verse 8. And we read over here, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This is the gift, the grace of God. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as His prisoner, but join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has called us to a holy life, not just because of anything we have done, because of His own purpose and grace. So in this grace, there's a power to endure suffering for the name of Jesus. I think there's many, many testimonies of people, and you might have experienced this, where a lot of persecution, but somehow you just find there's this inner strength, there's ability to be able to stand in all of this, and you know that this is not your own human ability because of who you know who you are, and that when you just find something's taking place, there's a boldness, there's a courage, there's a hope, there's so much taking place, and you're able to endure and to go through. That's God's provision. It shows you how powerful is this grace, so that we don't become little wimps. We find that there's this grace that is enabling us to make a stand. Now, to help us this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter, or let's go first to 1 Corinthians, and we there in verse 4, I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end. This is the power of this grace of God, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God who has called you into fellowship, this is the work of God with His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Peter writes to the church that's going through trials, that's going through difficult times, and he speaks about this incredible power of God. And he says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. You and I, by the Holy Spirit, we've been born again of God. We have been given a new birth. And we've been born into this incredible living hope. Living. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and you get born into the consequences of the wages of sin is death. In the grace of God, you and I have been born again by the Spirit of God into a living hope. Powerful. So we know our destiny. We know our future. We know where we're living in. We're in this incredible living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why the power of this grace of God, what Christ has done, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Through faith we are shielded by God's power. Again, look at the realm of faith in operating in this grace, until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then in verse 8, he carries on. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing them. He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glorious that would follow Him. You and I often find, as we are going through this time of appropriating, of learning to be strong in faith, you will find that very, very often, first of all, we will look at ourselves from our own human view. So we look at our humanity and we will say, and all the imperfections will be highlighted. We will see our failures. We will look at our past. We will see all these things. That's necessary for us to understand that in order for us to take our eyes off ourselves and to look and to become strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, His perfection. So you will find that just as we see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul is saying they used to look at Jesus in a certain way, he says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so here we see this incredible grace. So you will experience, in order for us to be strong, you'll probably go through, and you're probably going through this right now, that you will see your inadequacies. Just like when God called Moses, and Moses stood, God had given Moses this incredible purpose. See, because God was seeing Moses in the spirit realm. Moses was looking at himself in the human, earthly realm. And he could just see his weaknesses, his inabilities. And God's anger was against him because he was focused on himself. This will be probably one of the first tests that we go through as we start to respond to the call of God in our lives. Everything about our lives that says we cannot do it will be highlighted. At that very moment, we've got a choice. We can believe that, or we can believe truth. No, no, no. In Christ, I'm a new creation. The old has gone. That soul, that failure, that body of sin, all of that who I was in Adam, that is gone. I need to see what I look like in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Secondly, what will take place if it's not taking place already? Other people will come. And they will look at you and they will point out all your human faults. Husbands and wives are good at this. And so you will find other people, because they're looking at us from a worldly point of view. They're not seeing us in the Spirit, who we are in Christ Jesus. So they look at us and they will highlight all the faults. And they will pinpoint the faults, and they will speak, and they will give all kinds of answers, you name it, and just focusing on that, because they're looking at us from a human point of view. We no longer do that. And so you're going to listen to these words, but that's necessary to enable us to overcome that, so that we start to realize, but in Christ, this is who I am. So these, like we saw in Peter, these trials come our way to prove our faith to be genuine. So we start to hear these things taking place. That's because God wants us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to renew our mind to who we really are in the spirit realm, in Christ Jesus. So you will find that taking place. So how do we look at ourselves? How do we look at others? Are we looking at from a worldly point of view and just seeing all our mistakes, etc.? Or can we start to see who are we in Christ Jesus? Who are we? How do we speak into that, into a person's life? How do we communicate who they are in the Spirit? See, that changes everything. That changes the way we view and look at one another. That begins to start to understand, Lord, they may not understand that yet. I may not understand that, but praise God that there are people that is able to see us in the Spirit and could pray and they could prophesy, they could speak from who we are in the Spirit so that we can grow and receive that. We're not staying where we are. There's more grace that's empowering us to live in more of who we are in Christ Jesus. The body of Christ, we have to grow up now in Christ Jesus. We grow into the fullness of Christ. So as we are learning now, the world's going to point out, they're going to point our faults. You and I are going to look at ourselves. We're going to go into this pity party kind of thing. Realize, no, 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 no. That's just part for me to learn how to renew my mind and how to believe truth and to become strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So we look to Him, in Him, because He is our life. He is the perfect one. He alone has fulfilled everything. He was totally obedient in His ways, His thoughts, everything. And in Him, there is the ability of God for us to be able to live out the fullness of what God has purposed us and designed us to be able to live. So whenever we look at ourselves, we are reminded of Paul, the thorn in the flesh. And the profound truth that Paul is saying over there, that was 2 Corinthians 10, no, 12, I think it is. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12. Where he has this incredible revelation and he's speaking about this amazing grace of God that, and how God has called him and this grace. And he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, he was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now many times we spend so much time trying to discover that we miss out the lesson that God is teaching us through this example of Paul's life. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says over, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in the insults, in the hardships, in the persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Paul is learning to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, despite realizing all the weaknesses, because that's part of just our life. But he stops, he doesn't go wow, wow, wow. He then begins to celebrate. He says, God, I'm shy. God, I'm intimidated. God, I don't have the ability to do this. God, all this kind of stuff that exposes. But now I want to thank you, because in this weaknesses, that in this humanity of me, your incredible power is come to its full expression in my life, so that everybody can see. Now it's fascinating. It's fascinating in Ephesians chapter, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read that quickly. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's who we were. But then there's this powerful involvement of God. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, the power of grace with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, the power of God, from death to life. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. Listen to this. In order that the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. That's fascinating. For all the ages, why did God share with Paul? What I'm going to demonstrate, what I'm going to show is the reality of my grace. That's profound. So here Paul is celebrating his weaknesses. He's thanking God because now God's grace can be proven to be real. Because that word to demonstrate means to show in order to prove that something is very, very real. You and I, because of this incredible involvement, because of God's action in our lives, enabling us to be born again. You and I, as we grow into grace and be grace upon grace, our lives, despite our humanity, our lives are the display of God to show the world for all the ages to come. Listen, He has proof that my grace is real. Our salvation is proof that God's grace is real. The power of God within us enabling us to be free of sin is proof that God's grace is real. Our ability to be able to rejoice in suffering is proof that God's grace is real. The ability of us for us to be able to have a hope despite the hopelessness in the world is the evidence, it's the proof that God's grace is real. So all of a sudden we start to realize that my life is there so that I can demonstrate that God's grace is real in my life. Let me be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. So the focus is not on myself. Now I'm starting to realize that God, you have made provision. Let me rejoice and celebrate in that what you have done for me. And think many of us at this time, because we know that God is really opening up the more for us, not just being born again, not just living a normal Christian life, but because we've entered into the time where we're understanding your kingdom come, your will be done, because we realize by the blood of Christ we've been redeemed to be a kingdom and priest to rule, because we know that our Christ is the King of Kings and we're his body, and he's not just Jesus who saved us. He is Jesus who is King of Kings. He is the one, his body, and he's continually revealing the victory of the cross. We need to learn how to be strong in the Lord. How do we receive it? As I shared, we receive it by faith. We believe in the message of grace. But also, James 5, God gives grace to the humble and he opposes the proud. So when we realize our weaknesses, and we realize the calling of God on our lives, we realize the commission that God has given to the body of Christ, and we look at our weaknesses, God gives grace to the humble. God, these are my weaknesses, but in you I'm strong. And I ask for the grace that's in Christ Jesus to be able to live out just that place of knowing I need this grace in Christ Jesus. Because in my own ability I can't do it. The grace of God. That's how we receive more and more grace. God gives grace to the humble. And that's what we need. So I think we're all in the place where God is saying something concerning the nation. A question, quick question that you might want to leave here and ponder. As we look at one another in the Spirit, how do we look at our town in the Spirit? Or do we just look at our town in the natural? You see, now all of a sudden there's a grace in God, in Christ Jesus, for our town. How do we start to pray? How do we start to put action to that, to be able to participate in that grace for our town, for our nation? Just a question to ponder on. And this will help us to really see what God has purposed for 1947 to manifest. Because in the Spirit, 1947 is established in the kingdom. In the Spirit, 1947 has this incredible glory for people to see, nations to see. In the Spirit, all of this is in the Spirit. There's a grace of God in His Son for this to manifest. We need to believe. We need to renew our mind. We need to speak and understand that's in the Spirit. How do we? What weapons have you given to us? What words have you given to us to be able to see this manifest here on earth as it is in heaven? And this is why we are learning as we look at our family members. It's so easy to see them from a human perspective. Now, Lord, show me who are they in the Spirit, in your Son Jesus. Because in you there's the grace that will enable them to live it out. How do I pray now? So now we start to understand what it means to pray in the Spirit. All these things are very, very real. These are the tools, these are the provisions that God has given to us. What does it mean to sing in the Spirit one another, towards one another? All of these. So let's grow together, let's learn as we go on this journey. God loves the people of our nation. Father, we want to thank you for your provision in your Son. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power that you have given us by the Holy Spirit to be able to persevere despite the feeling of sinking, despite the feeling of we're going to drown, but to be able to just continue to persevere and to press in our love for you, our faith in you, and to find as we are doggy paddling in a sense and just trying to keep our head from going under the water, we start to find, Lord God, that we are building muscles and grace. We are building mental mind issues in this grace and dealing with the mind battles. We're finding that we're becoming stronger and stronger in you, Jesus, as we go through life, as we struggle through life, as we learn how to renew our mind. All the time, we're becoming stronger and stronger. And Lord, it won't be long before we'll be able to walk on that water because of your incredible grace operating within us as we have become strong. Thank you that in our weakness, your grace is perfected. The fullness of your grace and your ability is made known in our weaknesses. So we acknowledge this morning, Jesus, as we just sit with you again and eat together with you. We want to thank you that you have done something that we could not have done. And we receive the fullness of grace that comes through you. We want to ask now for our family members. We ask us for our community, living in our towns and in our nation. Father, in your Son, you've really provided the means for salvation for all, not counting sin against. And we ask that you will draw them so that many, many people will be able to experience this powerful grace. And this we receive and ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.